Hallelujah. We just want to sing all together. Praise God.
Father, we are thankful for the wonderful grace that we have in you. The Lord, O God, that you can cause us to thirst. And Lord, that you can cause us to have a mind as we thirst to seek after you, to recognize that the ultimate desire that we must have is to pursue after you, to get to know you, to be transformed by you. This is a great privilege, and we're thankful that we have been granted that. For truly our hearts do pant after you, just like the deer pants after the water. Our greatest desire is to know you. Father, help us to grow in you, to learn true fulfillment in you, to have the wisdom and the discernment to always choose you and to shun every other thing for your glory and honor. We thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord and this wonderful time of sharing the incorruptible word of life. I had something show up on my phone earlier today after the service. And I think things happen for a reason. Nothing happens by accident. It was an interesting skit. It was a young man, and to his right was church, and to his left was a banner for a club. And he's supposed to choose which one he will go to. And he chose the club. And they gave him different opportunities, different choices. A good choice, a worldly choice, and he danced towards the worldly choice. Finally, it was placed before him, heaven and hell. All this while he's been choosing the ways of the world. And now he wants to go to the heaven side, and he got a good smack. Where are you going? Well, people make decisions every day, and they make the wrong decision, and then they want the blessing and the favor of God at the end. It doesn't work that way. Even though the world would want us to think that way, that we can get away with whatever, because it's all grace and all mercy. The grace and mercy is accorded us when God, in his loving kindness and in his tender mercies, speaks to our hearts and gives us the ability to make godly choices. That's part of his mercy, that he has not left us alone to our own devices, but always comes and says, "Son, this is the way. Go this way. Don't go that way." But many times we listen to the loudness of the voice of the enemy and we allow the flesh to lead us, when the Word of God says, when we are led by the Spirit of God, then are we the sons of God. We need to grow in following the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the flesh, the carnal flesh mindset, is an enemy of God. That's why I'm fully convinced that there are no carnal Christians. God did not give birth to us to be carnal. He gave birth to us to be spiritual sons and daughters who can follow his directives every day. If you have the presence of mind to choose Jesus when you heard the gospel, then the word of God says that you were born of an incorruptible seed. That seed is not corruptible, which means that you can make godly decisions. Anyone who is still flirting and continuing in sin and pursuing after the things of darkness and doesn't have any challenge in his heart about that really did not receive Jesus Christ. You really didn't. Because if you did, you are awakened to the life of God, and God will speak to you. He will touch your heart because he gives you a new heart. He takes a stony heart away and gives you a heart that is sensitive to his leading and his guidance. Hallelujah. So we can be thankful when God speaks to us. Now, there is the flip side where you are hypersensitive and you are always living in fear, in guilt, in shame. That is living in the flesh and not by the Spirit. Because living by the Spirit means that you live by the Word of God. And the Word of God says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, but then says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And when we walk after the Spirit, God leads us and guides us and helps us to live fulfilled. And tonight I want us to remind ourselves of that reality, that we are sons and daughters of the living God that are led by the Spirit of God. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I don't know who this is for, because this is totally not in line with what I wanted to talk about tonight. But God is saying something to us tonight. And he's saying to us, I want you to be sensitive to my word. Follow my word. As we talked about this morning, we need to continue in the word of God. And as we continue in the word of God, we get to know the truth. Now, knowing the truth is not just knowing the truth of the word of God. Knowing the truth is knowing the one who is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So as we continue with Jesus, we get to know Jesus. As we continue to know the word, we get to know him. The Bible says that when he rose again from the dead, he was walking with two men down the road of Emmaus. And they got to the house. They compelled him to come with him. And he went with them to their house. And they sat down together and he broke bread with them and was teaching them about who Jesus was. And as he continued with them and stayed with them and ate with them, the Bible says their eyes became open when they recognize who he was. It is in continuing with the Lord that our eyes become open to who Jesus is. The Jesus I knew some 40 years ago is the same Jesus, but I know him differently today. As I've continued in my walk with him, I know this Jesus. And tomorrow I'm going to know another perspective of Jesus. The Bible tells us that the cherubims and seraphims, they go around the ark, the throne of God. And as they're going around, they flying around, they crying out, holy, holy, holy. Because there's a new perspective of God that they saw. The question I need to ask myself tonight, and I need you to challenge yourself to ask yourself tonight, is the Jesus that you know now, how much different is he, not because he's changed, but because you have come to know him better? Or you seem still the same person. No changes. No reflection on how your walk must change and how you must connect with him and become more like him. Since we have been changed into the same glory. We've been changed into the same glory. As we continue in the word, we get to know that truth. And that truth, who is Jesus, becomes the one who sets us free. The purpose of God is the setting free of his people from bondages, from limitations. Am I still the same person, or am I changing? If I'm not changing, then I must ask myself, why am I not changing? God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the change is in me. And the change is in me as I continue to look at him. If I look away from him, there's no continuity. There's no consistency. I have to look at him. And as I'm looking at him, things begin to get chipped off from me. That chipping off of what does not belong can be a painful experience. Because there are things that you want to hold on to, that you're so stuck to, that you want to just keep it because it is nice. And God says, no, that is not part of me. Oh, but I want it. I want to keep that. I like this. But it's not part of me. It's got to go. And you stop and you say, okay. If that's how it's going to be, okay. And that part of your life, a relationship, something that you hold on to so dearly that you've allowed to define you as a person, you let it go. You let go of that friendship. You let go of that job or whatever it is, that hobby. You let go of it. You might walk away from it feeling much pain, but your decision and your desire is more and more for him than it. He said, we've got to seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Then everything is going to be added to us. The carnal mind just wants lots of fun stuff, wants the glitter, wants to embrace what the world thinks is important. But a spiritual mind that's led by the Spirit of God goes in a totally different direction. See, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, his triumphant entry, he was riding on a donkey. That's not how conquerors came into the city. They had the pageantry of the nice Arabian horse or whatever, elegant stuff and decked with gold and whatever else. They had a troop in front of them and a troop behind them and a big celebration. But Jesus is coming and he's riding on a donkey. That doesn't sound right. Well, they're still celebrating. If people are cutting branches of trees and throwing it on the ground and taking the shirt off of their coats or whatever and throwing it on the ground and so on and so forth. Well, that's interesting. But that's like, this does not look right. But it was the right way. David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. He has a big band, all kinds of instruments blasting away. He has the Ark of the Covenant on a cart being pulled by animals. But that's not the way God said it was supposed to be done. Well, it's got to be okay because those Philistines put it on a cart too and attached it to these bulls and they're just giving birth. And it came here. So it's got to be okay. But that's not what the Word of God said. So with all the flamboyance, it was still flesh. And somebody died because of it. Because they put their hand to stabilize the cart so that the ark would not fall out. Looked like a very nice thing to do, but it was not based on the Word of God. Because other people got away with not doing it the way of God. Does not mean that you're going to get away with it not doing it the way of God. Because God has a personal relationship with his people. The world can get away with all kinds of stuff, but you don't just get off doing it any which way. So a man dies, and David is upset. How dare God do this? I'm trying to do God a favor. I have a place set up for him. And then he comes here and kills somebody. No, we can't have this. How many people are upset with God because of something that happened? And rather than check out and find out why that thing happened, do not give it even a thought. Well, they are angry with God. They're upset with God. This is what happened. This, they, blah, 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 blah. Stop for a moment. Because John Doe got away with it does not mean that that was the right way of doing it. So now, the ark is in the house, finally, of a man called Obed-Edom, who the Bible tells us continued. Everywhere the ark was, Obed-Edom continued. But before that, before David came to get it from his house, this man, as soon as the ark came into his house, got blessed. Fabulously blessed. That David said, what's going on with that guy? How come he's so blessed? So it's that ark. But the ark had been in another man's house for about 20 years. And they were not blessed. It was just there. There was no connection. But Obed-Edom was there. Received it, got blessed of God. Now David had to inquire of God and say, God, tell me, how am I supposed to get this ark to the rightful place? It's in my word. The ark is supposed to be on the shoulders of the priest, not on a cart. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. So this time, he had only one instrument, not a band, only a trumpet. The ark is on the shoulders of the priest. And he began to sacrifice slain animals every six steps, I believe it was, an animal was slain. So now, the priest was walking through a blood trail. With their ark on their shoulder. And nobody died. They were doing it the right way. And mercy was extended to God's people. Is it possible that there are areas in our lives where we may be upset, angry, disappointed? We may not verbalize it, but our attitude, the way we carry ourselves, shows that we are not happy with God. How many people are holding back from God because of some secret pain that they are feeling? They're not giving their all to God. They are not led truly by the leading of the Spirit of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. They're not receiving that spirit and that life. Because they try to do it the way somebody else did it, and that somebody got away with it, and they think they can get away with it. God intends for you and I to have a very personal relationship with Him. A relationship that is founded in us talking with Him and Him talking with us and giving us clarity. This morning we read from Deuteronomy 28. And the first verse makes this very specific statement. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I commanded this day, that the Lord thy God will, the Lord thy God will, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. But you have to hearken diligently. Listen diligently. Pay attention diligently. In essence, don't embrace or entertain any distractions. Did God give an instruction? Are you distracted? Am I distracted? And God says, we cannot have that. Because I really want to put you high above. And if I put you high above, I don't want you to fall from that high place. I want you to be able to stay there. And I truly do believe that God is calling us to that place, that high calling. And so he is taking us through every maneuver possible to make certain that we are yet faithful no matter what. No matter what, I will faithfully serve. I will faithfully continue in your word. Because God wants me blessed so I can be a blessing. That's God's heartbeat concerning you and I. He wants his blessings to come over us, to overtake us, to bring us to that place where his commanded blessings can be bestowed upon us, as he says to us in verse 8. He wants you and I to get to that place. But to get there is one thing. To stay there is another. Let me say that again. To get there is one thing. To stay there is another. I'll say it the third time. To get there is one thing. To stay there is another. How do we get to stay there? By continuing to do what we did to get there. Problem many times is that people get somewhere and they settle. But as soon as you peak, you begin to fall. As soon as you peak, you fall. So for the child of God, we must have this mindset. I am not going to peak. There's no peaking. There's going to be only continuity. You know, this world that God created is still expanding right now. It's still growing. If it stops expanding, it will collapse on itself. Eternity is about continuity. It doesn't end. That means it keeps on getting powered. When your human, just physically, when your human body, your kidneys, your liver, your heart, or whatever, begins to lose power, energy, you have started dying. You cannot be losing power. God wants you and I fully powered and continuously being powered. The engine keeps on going. How does it keep on going? By feeding yourself the Word of God. It says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Oh, That's very important. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Without bread, the bread is for your physical. The word of God is for your spiritual, your real you. Your real you needs the word of God. It's powered by the word of God. You and I are powered by the word of God. When God breathed into us his word, he powered us. He made us a living soul. The word of God powered you and made you come alive, turned your engines on. That's why we must fall in love with the word of God and eat the word of God. You live by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That proceeds out of the mouth of God. That proceeds. That means that I have to have the capacity to continuously listen to the word of God. Be diligent in listening to the voice of the Lord thy God. God rewards those who diligently seek him. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that this God who is a reward of those that diligently seek him. The blessing flows out of that foundation. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But how does faith come? Faith comes by the hearing. Faith comes by hearing. What causes you to please God comes by hearing. Hearing what? That which proceeds out of the mouth of God. Is God speaking? Yes. What is he saying? Are you hearing? Or may I say, are you seeing what he's saying? Because words form images. Words form objects. Words form things. So, in reality, when you're talking about words, actually, in Luke, it says, that holy thing that shall be born, meaning Jesus, who is the Word. Eli said to Samuel, what thing did he say? In Pidgin English, in Nigerian Pidgin English and in our languages, we say, waiting in talk, waiting in say, waiting. What word was said? Word and thing are synonymous, exact same thing. The thing is the word and the word is the thing. When God spoke, he spoke the thing. The thing is as a result of the word, because the word and the thing are the same. So when God speaks, Something is being formed. When words are spoken, things have been formed. When words are spoken, images are formed. Whether they are images of God, when it comes from God, or images that are not God, but pretend to be God, or idols. What you and I believe and are connected to are truly idols. They came forth from a spirit of allegiance, of followership. So we talk about I idolize so-and-so. That's my idol. That's my idol because that's my mentor. I hold him or her in high esteem. That's my idol. I idolize that person. Are we together so far? Why do you idolize that person? Because of who he is, what he says, how he carries himself, and you want to be like that person. I want to be like Mike because Michael Jordan is my idol. So I want to be like him. So what does that mean? I want to be like Mike. It means I want to play basketball like him. I want to be rich like him. So I want to know how he became who he is so that I can become like him. Oh, so I read biographies about Michael Jordan and find out that he wasn't a very good basketball player, that they thought that it was a waste of time for him to even think that he can play basketball. But the guy decides, no, I'm not going to buy into those lies. And I'm going to go practice. And he keeps on practicing. I'm practicing. Well, you can be practicing wrongly and become worse. But he was practicing right. And so he was able to do whatever. So the person who is idolizing him wants to be like him. And so has to learn how to do what Michael did to become who Michael was. I say was because I'm sure he's not as good as he used to be. So when we think about God, when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, we must also think, how did he become who he is? And Philippians tells us in chapter 2 that even though he was all that, he didn't consider himself all that, and even though he could have said, I'm God. He didn't think of that and didn't spend it, but he humbled himself. So if we're going to be like him, we've got to humble ourselves. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. He didn't think about my reputation. All he was thinking about is the reputation of God. I'm here to represent him. I'm not here about myself. Is that how you and I think about our relationship with God and as we relate our relationship with everybody else? That my primary assignment is not to seek my own reputation, but seek the reputation of God. He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's a very interesting set of words. And being, present tense, found in fashion, in the form as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself from the status that he was to become a man and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, if we go back to Deuteronomy, he said that he is going to exalt us above all nations. But based on what? Being attentive to what God is saying, observing, being diligent. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments which are commanded this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Hearken diligently. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He does nothing except what he sees the Father doing or saying. Is that not true? Yeah. So if he is our mentor, if he's the one that we're looking to, then we've got to do what he did. He kept his ears peeled to what God was saying, doing what God said to do. And God is calling you and I to come to that place where it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Now, I'm not about my own agenda. As amazing as my agenda might be, if that's all I am doing, then I am not walking pleasing God. How many people just are about their own agenda? I have this, I'm doing this. Well, people may celebrate and say, oh, wow. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, what a wonderful thing you're doing. But if it was not God and it's not God, it is all in vain. It's going to be burnt up. So why waste the time? Find out what the heart of God is about the matter. And do just that. Let our hearts pant after God. May we be aligned to him and his directives. And it is out of that atmosphere that things begin to percolate in a proper way. And he's exalted. And as he's exalted, you are exalted because you are in him. Let me say that again. As he's exalted, you are exalted because you are in him. If this is you, and this is the Lord, and you are in the Lord, where the Lord goes, that's where you go. This does not stay here if this is in Him. That makes sense? When we exalt the Lord, we get lifted up too. When we honor God, we receive honor. When we bless the Lord, we get blessed. God wants to do extraordinary things. And because He humbled Himself, even to the death of the cross, the Bible says He was given a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, the things in the earth, and the things under the earth. In other words, in all spheres, in every direction. He says, and every tongue shall and should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For what purpose? To the glory of the God, the Father. What did Jesus, our Lord, come to do? To point to the Father. It is the Father, it is He that doeth the works. So everything Jesus did was to glorify the Father. In His humbling of Himself, it was so that the Father may be glorified. So Paul concludes, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How? By continuing in the Word of God, by submitting yourself to God, by being diligently listening to the directives of God. That's how you work out your salvation. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How? Through your surrender. It is His will, it is His good pleasure to bring you to the place of doing. So if I'm in His hand, if He moves that way I go. According to His directive, because I am in Him. I'm not separated from Him. So God now begins to work in me. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yes? Is that what He said? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I want you to think about that. God will never leave me nor forsake me. That's a very strong statement. You know, somebody might say, well, God will never leave you nor forsake you, but you can leave God and forsake God. That may be a true statement, but He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what is that? It means that wherever it is that you go, God goes. Because He made a commitment, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So watch this. If I take me to the house of a harlot. I take God with me to the house of the harlot. In fact, the word of God says, you've caused my eyes to see things I don't want to see. I made a commitment, I'll stick with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So where am I dragging God to? What kind of business have I gotten God involved in? It's not that he's coming in agreement with whatever it is that I'm doing, but he's there. Well, in very simple sense, if God is everywhere present, there is no place where he's not present. So David says, he says, if I go make my bed in hell, in Psalm 139, yeah. If I go make my bed in hell, you're there with me. Where am I going to run from? But in real terms, think. Anything that I am doing, he is there with me. He's not in agreement. I may not be pleasing him, but I can be certain of this, that he sticks with me. And the best way I can put it is this. You know, sometimes God has to drag you. There are many people with skinned ankles and knees because God has placed his hand on them and is grabbing them in the hand and he's walking with them, and then they decide, I'm not going over there. And God says, that's where I'm going. and you drag it. Because he said, I'm not leaving you. And you're not taking me over there. So we're going this way. That's mercy. That's God's mercy. You know, there are believers that are going through tough, difficult times, and they're moving in the direction of purpose. But it is not according to their will. It's because at a particular time, you said, you are my Lord, and you are my Savior. And God says, amen to that. So if I'm your Lord, and I'm your Savior, I didn't change my mind on that. I said amen to that because the word of God says Jesus is the amen, the yes and amen of God. So he's going to be dragging you. So I'm asking this question. Who's getting dragged? Who is getting dragged? You're trying to go somewhere else, and God says, we're not doing that. But God, what about my self-will? You surrendered it to me when you said you are my Lord and my Savior, and I said amen to that. That's my will. Well, let me not go too far deep on that. I didn't say this. Thank God every day that he is your God. He will lift you up if you listen diligently to him. But if you decide not to, but you are in the contract, in the covenant, he may drag you. Yes. He may just drag you. He says, so if you don't want to be dragged, do all things that you do without murmuring and disputing. Stop complaining. Let's go. If you're going to be doing things, murmuring and disputing, okay, well, sorry. You know, as I conclude, there is a picture of the good shepherd that has the sheep, the lamb, the little lamb in his, either in his shoulder or in his arm. There is a painting, the original painting of that shepherd and the lamb. The lamb had a bandage on his legs. The reason it has the bandage on the legs is because it was a little lamb that was always going astray. And so the good shepherd broke the leg. Yeah. And the bandage is part of resetting the broken leg. Don't be that. Don't be that. Because God expects you and I to pay attention. He's not willing that any one of us should perish, that we all come to repentance. And so God will create turbulence to force people to make the right decision. I can give you candies, sweeten the pot, or I can come with a big stick. Which one do you want? That's when God has come into covenant with you and said, you, see that place called hell? You're not going there. You understand? You're not going there. So if I have to break your leg to make sure you don't go there, your leg I'm going to break. I will straighten up your mind. He says, because he chastises those that he loves. Be the one that God loves and doesn't let off. You know, there are kids that come from wealthy homes and they have everything handed over to them and they know how to do nothing. And when the parents are gone, they have no idea how to do anything. Nothing. The parents thought they were loving the kids by giving them everything. God is not that kind of a God. At the very beginning, he will give you all kinds of stuff, but then his determination is to make you like himself. And so he brings you from the place of handing things over to you to the place where you are trained to endure, to be patient, to get fortified in your inner man, so that no matter what happens, whether there's plenty, like Paul would say, I've learned to be content. No matter what, when I have lots, great. And if I have little, I'm content. No matter what the state. I wish I could come here and tell you that because you're a Christian and the blessing means that you will never have a problem. That might be a joke. The promise you have is that the problem will never overtake you. It will never touch you to cause you to be prevailed over. But that you are made more than a conqueror, above only and not beneath. And it starts from paying attention and obeying the instruction. God wants me to grow up. God wants you to grow up. That's the word for tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to be called your sons. Thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You're calling us to that place where we are blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, amongst whom we now shine as lights in the world. Lord, help us to represent you well. In this dark world, help us to represent you well. Lord, you represented the Father well, and we want to do the same, that we may be the manifestations of the sons of God in this world. Thank you, Father, that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our gifts of faith. And I'd like to remind us that the last Bible study for this year is going to be this Wednesday. And the last prayer meeting for this year is going to be Friday, the 12th. In all of this, may we continue to grow and prosper in the goodness of God. And as you release your gift unto the Lord with thanksgiving, may God breathe upon all that we are releasing unto him and cause us to rise up into higher levels of grace and favor. I'd like to ask those that are champions of faith to please begin to pray. And I'm praying for you too, that you will know how to support the work of God for missions in this new year. And God will show to you what you can do, how you can be of assistance in the work of the ministry. There is so much that is on our plate, so much that needs to be done. And I know God knows what portion he has set aside for us to join in and participate in, and what aspects he's going to let other people take care of. And so I just want to say to you at this point, do pray. I might be calling you at some point before the end of the year or in the new year and saying, this is what we need. What can you do to help? And, that's all I can say about that at this point. Well, thank you so very much for everyone that fervently and faithfully gives for the cause of the gospel. You know, one of the things the Lord taught me and warned me about a few decades back was, don't make these stones bread. In essence, they are not your source. But that was a statement about me, not looking at you and saying, you're going to be the answer to my own personal needs. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, that's a totally different situation. He builds through living stones. It is the people that he uses to build whatever it is that he wants to build. But does not, and join me to see you and see you as my source. You're going to supply this and supply that. No, he does that ultimately. Amen? And but building, we are all part of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. Have we honored God already? Well, I'm going to ask Brother Reuben to come and close in prayer tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. While he's coming, I'll dismiss those that are on Facebook and YouTube at this point, and just say a quick hello to those that are on Zoom. I have with us tonight, who's coming on first? Oh, Sister Carol, bless you.